Thank you. Thank you, worship team. What a good time this morning. Everybody okay? Good to see y'all. It's my last time with you this weekend. I was teasing Robert. I said, I'm going to pour an Ephesians on him when I leave. He said something. I said, I got my mic. He said, you have your mic? I said, are you kidding? I said, I'm like at home. I've been here so many times. I know I'm like at home. And he said, well, it's just starting. I said, no, I'm going to pour an Ephesians on you and tell you when I leave today. I know I'll never see your face. Or you'll never see my face again. He said, oh, no, we'll cry. I said, stop. So I was just having fun with Robert. But I enjoy being here. I usually don't come to a place as many times as I've come here. It's actually rare. I don't know if I've ever been anywhere as many times as I've been here. That doesn't mean you're bad and in trouble. Honestly, I think it's usually a positive thing. I believe God finds something to work with. He sows into what will respond. I feel like, you know, we've been all brought up in a different way, it seems. Like I get around and it seems like everybody has a story of their upbringing. And it's amazing how it's always contrary to true, absolute truth, the upbringing. And it's like we have a history in us that wrong thinking, bad things done to us, lies about God, like things that we just say rhetorically and just come up with, phrases we make up and we grow up thinking they're true. But when you look at it, it doesn't matter what circle, what culture, what background you come, it seems like it's a real thing in every group of people I've been around that they grow up thinking the opposite thing of what's really true. And it's almost like this strategy set against us, against our purpose, against the person of God. And it makes you realize there's really a thing going on spiritually. There's really a war out there. There's really a trick and a trap. Paul calls it the wiles and schemes of the devil. He says, don't be unaware of his devices and give him no place. Well, what I've found is until we hear real truth and our hearts open wide to truth, let me tell you what I feel like when I come here. I feel like there's a lot of people that have been brought up to think and believe a lot of things. And when I come here and speak, it's like this heart, it's a unified heart that goes, and that's what I experienced very beginning when I came here. It was almost like a, what? But this openness, not this contesting like, yeah, right, no, that ain't true. I haven't received that here. I mean, it might have been a few people, I don't know. But overall, I don't pay attention to that anyway. See, I'm just preaching, man. But what I've perceived in all weekend, I said to Pastor, I said, the people are so open and so hungry. It's like they're on the edge of their seat, just drawing on God. And that's what I've perceived in the room the whole weekend. And it's just an amazing thing. So I feel compelled to come. When I heard Robert ask me to come the last time, it was like, I just this desire to be here came over my heart. So that's why I'm here. But stay teachable, stay hungry. If the thing you're thinking isn't producing life and encouraging your heart, you need to relook at what you're thinking. If the thing you're believing isn't empowering you to go after God and making you hungry for more of God, then you've got to rethink what you're thinking. Watch this. Even what you're thinking about yourself. The biggest lie, the biggest thing I've found is that people don't feel good about themselves when it comes right down to it. That's why we need others to do us so right, because it kind of tries to help us and convince us that we're worth somebody's time or we're valuable. We like if we can draw a laugh in a crowd. There's just little things that really aren't going to make a difference in the long run. They just keep us in this place that prove that our identity isn't settled, isn't sure. We're not confident in who we are. And the only way, I shared it the other night, and I feel strong this morning to kind of camp there, and I probably have a lot of new faces in front of me today. Our identity is the biggest thing. It's what the devil goes after, knowing who you are, knowing why you are who you are, knowing what you're here for is missing in most people's lives that have good hearts. People that love God find a hard time seeing the value in their life, looking in a mirror and seeing something positive. I've taught this when I first got saved. The Lord taught me to look in a mirror and see him. Look in a mirror and see how he sees me. It wasn't vanity. It wasn't like proud of myself or thinking I'm handsome. I would be in the mirror, look in the mirror, and I'd say, oh my goodness, I see who you are in me. And I would just talk to myself in the mirror. I'd go in the morning. It's the true thing. I would go in the morning. I'd look in the mirror and say, well, good morning. Oh, my goodness. I see you believe the Lord. And I would talk to myself like I'm talking to a neighbor. And I'd say, I can see that you understand righteousness, and I see his glory in your countenance, his spirit in your life. Sir, I said, you're doing amazing. You're going to have a great day. And I would just talk like that. I remember one day going by the full-length mirror, and I stopped and said, are you kidding me? I said, sir, you know the Lord. I can see you walk in him and live in him. I see him in your life. Oh my goodness, what are you do standing here? People out there need what I see in you. Now see, what's good about a mirror, when you fist bump, it'll never play you. I said, you're going to have an amazing day. And I walked out the door. Now who knows if I'm putting on Christ and I'm looking myself in my eyes. See, when people look in their eyes in the mirror, they don't even do it. Rarely do they do it because they're ugly and they wish they looked a little different and they wish their hair wasn't that texture and they wish their nose wasn't shaped like that. And it's all superficial stuff. And when they look in their eyes, sometimes they see what they've been through, what people have done to them, what people haven't done for them, what they needed and didn't get. And they see their past, their history, their story. And I'm just telling you, a lot of people get tricked into not liking who they are. But if you start to form your identity in Christ and you start seeing your life in Christ and you start realizing you're loved by God, you're called by God, you're purposed by God, you're the will and intention of God, you won't have trouble looking in your eyes and it'll crush and quench the thing that was trying to lie to you your whole life. Some of us had terrible upbringings. Some of us had terrible family memories. Some of us have fathers that didn't have a clue what love was, and they were wounded and crippled, and like leaven, trying to sweep through generations. Some of us have some very bad memories. But your memory has nothing to do with truth, and even the dad that was dysfunctional has nothing to do with truth. There's a truth that you can live towards. You can separate yourself from what you've been through and find the truth through what he's been through. And you can come out of darkness into light. See, this is conversion. This is transformation. This is putting off the old man, putting on the new. It's imperative. Christianity, guys, is not a belief system. It's a new and living way. It's a brand new life. It's a brand new motive. It's a brand new purpose. It's a brand new reason for being. You wake up with a different why than you had before. Before, we're trying to survive. Before, we're trying to fit in. Before, we're just hoping people like us. It's really lame, guys, because you're just like this in life. Be real with me. But now in Christ, you fit in him. You find yourself in him. You have nothing to prove. You just have the joy of becoming and growing in a truth that God loves you and wants to live in you. Watch this. The Bible says there's a time to be born. Did you ever hear anybody say, well, I have to be a mistake. Well, I should have never been born. Why was it? Do you know how prevalent suicide is in society? Do you know there's regions and cultures and areas where suicide is rampant? It's almost like a spirit sweeping through. And you'd be amazed if you ask a room this size of people to be real and be authentic, that not even in this moment, but that suicide was an option or a thought in your life at some point, you'd be amazed that a majority of the people in a room like this would raise their hand if they were honest. He's the author and giver of life. There's a time to be born. We were predestined before time to be adopted into sonship, daughters, right? So if you have life, where'd it come from? Who authored life? There's a time to be. You say, yeah, but I was born through fornication. There's a time to be. See, what looks like a mess, God turns into glory when you understand he's the Father. That's why you call no man on earth your. It's Matthew 23:9. You call no man on earth your. You have one. The word father means come forth from, to be sired, to be brought forth. You all have a father, whether you've known him or not, but you have one father. What he's saying is don't limit, regulate, and identify your life through natural means. Call no man on earth Your Father, you have won. What he's trying to tell us is get a grip and realize you go way deeper than your family line. You're on the earth for a purpose and a reason, and your roots go back to him. And you wouldn't be here if he didn't see you before time. You wouldn't be here if he didn't afford life. That's why abortion, tragedy. You say, I was pregnant because I was raped and I just wanted to get rid of the baby. Life comes from God. He's the author and giver of life. If there's life, he can turn what looks awful into absolute glory. I met a man that's a worship leader. He's anointed. He's moving in God. And he was a product of a rape. And he said, just think. If he ministers powerfully and says, just think if my mother would have aborted me because of the rape, and wouldn't have trusted God and God's glory and God's redemption, and would have just said bad seed, bad roots. No, if you make a tree, good. See, this is the whole point of the gospel, guys. If the root's bad, the fruit's bad. If the root's bad, the tree's bad, the fruit's bad. A lot of people are identifying themselves with a bad root, with their history, their memories, the way things unfolded, the things they did, the things done to them. The gospel says, okay, I have an answer. Let's make a tree good. Let's get you out of this and say, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with who you are. This is a strategy designed against you to hurt you, break you, shake you, and make you so far away that when you hear the good news, you don't hear anything good about it because you don't know what I've been through. Are you with me? He wants to get you out of that thing. You say, well, why did God let it happen? I'll tell you what God let happen. He let his son die on a cross to give you an answer and a way of escape. He's given the earth to the children of men. We have not grown up covered by intercession. We have not grown up with people walking in the light. We have not grown up knowing God. We've grown up talking about him and having a lot of wrong beliefs about him. And we have been sitting ducks and overrun by a lot of stuff. Sin and the flesh and willfulness and selfishness has pounded us from the time we were born. And at some point, you have to make a just decision and say, wait a minute, this cannot be the truth. This cannot be me. This cannot be what I'm called to. And no matter, they did this, they did this, they did this. God put Jesus on a cross to get me out of this mess and get me into him. Watch this. He has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what happened to me. See, when you see me, you can't tell. I grew up in an alcoholic home in a lot of tension. You can't tell my mother was sick for 40 years. You can't tell I was touched strong at a young age in a babysitter situation. You don't see none of that when you look at me. Why? Because none of that has one thing to do with who I am. That is not my story. That's just what I went through, and now I got here. Why? Because I turned my eyes to him. I looked up from whence come my help. I'm not looking back. I'm looking up. I'm not living there. I'm living in him. It's called faith, and the just live by faith, and you're saved by grace through faith. It's called born again. Are you hearing me? Come on. Don't you make your story greater than God. Yeah. Don't you let what a man did to you be greater than what a man did for you. Don't let what a man said to you override what a man has spoken before time. Are you hearing me? I know you are because I'm talking loud. But are you hearing me? The gospel wants to get you to a place where it swallows up all insecurity, all low esteem. Come on, we get so molded at a very young life. We're all needy. Do you understand that we were born into Adam? The Bible teaches we were born into Adam, which means separated from God. We didn't have the life of God in us, but God's sovereignty is over the earth. But none of us are alive inside in Christ when we're born. We're born into Adam, separated from God. Do you understand? So we're in Adam's state. What is Adam? insecure. He doesn't know who he is. He lost his created value. He lost his identity. He lost his purpose. God said, the day you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the day you surely die. Friends, he didn't fall over dead. He's not talking about physical death. He died. Who he was died. What he was created for died in his understanding and in his identity, but love never failed. God hasn't changed. Man changed. God's the same. So we're born into this lie. Watch this. Everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, knows what I'm saying. You'd had no clue who you were when you were born. You needed love. You needed support. You needed stability. You needed attention, affection. You needed appreciated. You needed valued. And most of us didn't get a fraction of what was on that list because the people around us needed the same thing. And at a very young age, you think you know who you are, and all it is how you've responded to how it unfolded. You get mistreated at a very young age. You get laughed at by third graders, and you realize they're laughing at you. You're faced with decisions because you don't have an identity in Christ. You don't have a truth to lean on. You don't have an identity that's secure. You're molded by life, not the giver of it. And they're laughing at you, and you have options. You either get introverted, broken, insecure, or you harden and become a fighter and act like you don't care. But no matter how you respond, it isn't even you. It's just a reaction to what you're faced with because you have no higher answer. And then you grow up for years thinking that's you. Well, I've always been. Well, you know, I've just been. Well, you don't know what I've been. Well, I've just been. And until you find Christ, until you see him and find yourself in him and put off the old and put on the new, you have no clue who you are. And you learn how to survive and you become a product of the wrong potter called life. Come on. We're insecure. We're self-focused, we're self-conscious. We need people to like us, want us, need us. Why? Because we're empty inside. We have no identity. We are forced into trying to find ourselves along the way. That's why people don't feel like they have value. They don't fit in because the people that were supposed to love them didn't love them. So they interpret that in, I'm not lovable, instead of they're empty. Come on, oh, it's quiet. This is good. No, that's a good quiet. I perceive a good quiet. You're very good hearers. It's not because I'm yelling. No, it's true. You know it's true. I can feel that. So we have an answer. Don't let your heart get hard. Please don't get tricked into being angry at God. Don't let what the devil is scheming trick you into making the only one that can help you your enemy. Well, if he was God, why'd he let that person touch you? If he wasn't God, why'd he put his son on the cross when I was yet a sinner? Yeah? See, people ask the wrong questions from the wrong place and they never get an answer. Well, if God's good, why'd he let me? If God wasn't good, why'd he send his son? Do you know that when they asked Jesus questions in the Bible, they were never sincere? They were always trying to trick him. They were always trying to trap him. And do you realize in your Bible, Jesus never once answered their questions? Because there's no need to speak into insincerity. People just get mad. Well, how come God? Well, why did God ever? Well, why did God? Well, if God don't tell me he's good, you don't even know what I've been through. I lost my child. I lost my spouse. Come on, I'm being real. Look, my hair is white. I've lost people. I can get away with talking like this without being insensitive. My brother just fell over and stopped breathing. The last I saw him was in my yard just a hair over a year ago. He left and I never saw him again. Am I mad at God? Are you kidding? I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus, so that's a total loss. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even have had him for a brother. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even have life. But I have more than that. I have a hope. I have a future. I have eternity in his presence. You think I'm going to condemn the one that's only good because of personal reasons, self-centered sentiment and emotion and peanut brain thinking? Come on. I'm not going to diminish the person of God through the arrogance of fallen man. Are you hearing me? God doesn't owe me anything. He gave me life. But he gave me life with a purpose. He gave me life with a reason. He gave me life with a destiny attached to it. And if I'm living life outside of that reason, no wonder life's a grind. You don't put diesel in a regular car. Somebody probably says amen because they know what I'm talking about. There you go. I got one. He says amen. Causes problems. And a lot of cleaning and a lot of draining and a lot of washing and a lot of filtering. Come on. You don't live for yourself. You don't live for your own name. You don't live for your own glory. You don't just live for somebody to do you right. You live for his name's sake. We're on the earth for a reason. I want to show you a scripture. Can you go to Philippians 3 with me? Are you guys all right? I'm not too intense, right? You know, you're saying, no, you're like you always are. Okay, good. So I'm not hurting anyone, right? Listen, I know we've been through tough things, terrible things. But man, think about what he went through. He put himself in a body, came as a baby, waited 30 years to step in the river and be baptized, and now it's on. Now he goes into the temple and he takes the scroll and he starts reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And the people are overtaken by him. They're amazed by him. They're mesmerized for a moment. And they're like, whoa, where'd this dude come from? Like, where's this authority coming from? Nobody ever speaks of this dude. And then they're like, is he talking about us? Kill him. And they rushed him to push him off a cliff on his first day preaching. So that's his debut. The Lord Jesus Christ came to his own and his own knew him not. What a resume for fallen man. So far from the truth that they didn't even see and had no ability to see the one that was responsible for creating them. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him, yet he came to his own and they knew him not. What a resume for fallen man. And truth, Pastor, stood in front of them and preached for years. And they killed him for his words. They were that lost. And the whole time, he's the truth. 100% pure, 100% perfect, 100% right. And he died at the hands of men willingly to show you what your life is called to, what it means to follow him, and what life really looks like in God. You think I understand this and I'm going to get offended over some petty thing? You think I'm going to let some human weakness trump me and stumble my heart? Now I'm hurt and broken and crying and can't sleep? Not today, friend. Tomorrow ain't the right day either. I get it now. I am not on the earth to be hurt by you. I'm on the earth to love you, to manifest Jesus, to walk in the light as he's in the light, to live Christ. I'm not on the earth for him to meet my needs. I'm on the earth for him to fulfill me with who he is. That song we sang, and come after him, want more of him and burn in him and be alive in him. Yeah? He has changed my way to the way. Yeah? That's why I'm always okay. That's why the first time I ever came to this church, probably however many years ago, I was a madman.
Just like you.
All these years later, nothing's changed unless it's intensified. Why? Because I have a little more life under my belt and I know him a little more. And even though he's faithful, he's a little more faithful. And even though he's good, he's a little more good. And even though I knew him, I know him a little bit more. And that's what's wrong with me. Are you hearing me? Don't you think I haven't experienced life? Don't you think everybody's done everything perfect around me? Don't you think there isn't slander and things done wrong? Don't you think there's not trials and circumstances and stuff? Come on. Peter said, don't think it's strange. Your brothers all over the world are going through the same thing you are. So I guess our only answer is the same truth, the same victory, the same new identity, the same new and living way. So I guess we ought to all just put off the old, put on the new, and stop trying to find our value through one another. Why are we continually drinking out of empty cups? No wonder we're thirsty. John 4, he said, if you'd asked me, I'd give you a drink. And one drink from me, you'll never thirst again. Is he talking about thirst, or is he talking about identity? as you talk about knowing the truth and knowing who you are. One drink from me. He who the sun sets is what? That means for sure. You see what's wrong with me? I've been drinking. I've been drinking. Well, that'll go over good with the critics. Pastor Dan, drinking. Right before a service. No, I took a drink 27 years ago. And I promise you this, and I'm looking you in the eyes, since then, I have never thirsted. You have no ability to break me, hurt me, offend me, change me. I am not on the earth for you to love me. I'm on the earth to be more like him. I didn't wake up to need you. I woke up to love you. And that changes everything. Watch this. I'm married. I don't even wake up for my wife to love me. Why? Because I'm so loved by God. It makes me just want to be loved. I woke up to love my wife, not need my wife. My wife has no ability to break my heart. Zero. She proved that in an 8-year thing she went on where she was deceived. She certainly knows that by now. She likes that I'm not insecure. She likes that I'm not needy. She likes that our marriage isn't on thin ice. She likes that there's no more silent treatments and body language communication. Because of the self-centeredness, lack of knowing Jesus that's really in our lives that we won't admit and deal with. Oh, I'm bringing it a little bit right now. My wife loves me. You know why? Because I love her. So do we love God first or do we see his first love? So the trick of Satan is to get you to have such a wrong view of God that you hear the gospel but can't see God's love and you have more questions than you ever have answers. That's the goal of Satan. And he does a pretty good job, I hate to say it, where a lot of people are concerned. If God wasn't good, why'd he send his son? Why would Jesus do what he did and suffer the cross, doing nothing to deserve the cross? Why would he drink the cup of wrath and take all the sin of men upon his own body and flesh if he wasn't good? Do you think he just neglected you and ignored you in your deepest time of need when you were 8, 12? No, I think he already answered when he hung there. And he's given us an answer today. So I'm encouraging you. See, the whole reason for Sunday morning in my mind as a pastor is to get the home here and stir us, just stir us in love and good works and keep us reminded of why we're here and why he's in us and why we're on the planet. So we don't turn inward, get self-centered, feel sorry for ourselves. Whoever noticed that's the loneliest party you've ever been to. How easy is it to feel sorry for yourself? What puzzles me is how many Christians feel sorry for themselves. And it puzzles me because I thought we denied ourselves. How can you feel sorry for what you denied? Or maybe we just came to God for other reasons. Maybe we came to God to fix our marriage. Maybe we came to God because we just got laid off. Maybe we came to God for blessing. Maybe we came to God for heaven. I think we should come to him for life. I think we should come to him for who he is, so that who he is comes into us and changes who we are. Yeah. I think we ought to come to God for his great name. Because when he prophesied through Ezekiel, he said, you know what? My people were scattered and they went all over the nations. Now watch what he said. Why did he select the children of Israel? Does anybody even know why he handpicked them out and selected a group of people? Is it because he's biased and favoritism? He said that through you, the nations would know me. So he picked a people because he's prophesying body of Christ, New Testament church, that through a people, the nations of the world would know him. Yeah? Yeah? What did he do with Adam and Eve? He filled them with all that he is. Out of the fullness of God and the man, he brought forth the woman. They're not separate lumps of clay. They're one. He made them two so they could be one, multiply, and cover the earth with his glory. So the whole earth is filled with his glory. That's why when Israel was failing terribly in the wilderness, God said to Moses, let me tell you something, Moses, as surely as I live. He prophesied. He said, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be full of my glory. What's he saying? No matter what it looks like right now, no matter what humanity has been seemingly reduced to, there will be a day when men look like me. There will be a day when my glory is being revealed through their life, and the whole earth will be filled with who I am. He's talking about us. And if we're not careful, we've turned this into blessing, protection, provision. And if a loved one dies premature, we're mad and can't even pray anymore. Yeah, that's kind of how it happens. We clunk. Or something just goes wrong and we clunk and get distracted and analyze. I don't know why God didn't. I don't know why God. Well, I'm just mad at God. That is the biggest lie happening on the planet. The biggest lie. You have a question, comment?
How do you experience hard emotions?
Emotions change through, watch, emotions change through perspective. The reason emotions are so hard is because we need different thinking. If I wake up and I'm self-centered, my emotions are coming out of the wellspring of self-centered. If it's all about me and not just about his great name, it's not that loss isn't real. I've missed my brother terribly. But it doesn't, I don't grieve as if I have no hope. God didn't say we don't grieve. We're not stuffing emotions. They're being changed by a new foundation of living. I have a whole new reason for being. I have an eternal perspective. I'm living for that day, not just this day to go the way I hope. The hard emotions you're referring to, they're hard if you don't get a higher truth. If you don't change your view on the picture and bring God and his purpose into the loss. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh my gosh, no. Your feelings are real, but if they start overcoming you, if they start attacking God, if they start twisting your mind into questioning that maybe he's not good, that's a warning sign that, whoa, wait a minute, I need to get a new perspective and view. I can't just let my feelings dominate my thought process. Are you following me? That's called sensual living. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. If you live by the flesh, it's death. If you live by the Spirit, it's life and peace. It didn't say, unless, of course, you just lost a loved one. Watch. The eye is the lamp of the body. It was a great question. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is what? Single. Not wide view lens, yell butt, but you don't. If my eye is single, my whole body is flooded with light. Unless, of course, you just unexpectedly lost your own brother who was your best friend. It doesn't say that. It says, if I see clear, I'll be clear. So my brother passes. God is not in jeopardy. I love him, and I'm actually more thankful because of what I see and realize in his passing than before he passed, because I'm so excited about life through Christ. And if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, it's a total loss. It's ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and I'm lonely. Duh. But I am motivated to run this race worthy of a prize and stand before God and finish. Why? Because he's good and he paid away for everlasting life. So I'm not putting all my chips on now. I'm putting all my chips on then. And it says, he who believes these things purifies himself even as he is pure. That's called faith. Yes. Are you with me? Good question. You stirred me up. No, it was a great question. Watch this. Watch this. Self-centeredness was in every one of our lives when we were born. You thought for yourself, you didn't know any different. You were self-conscious at a time where you became aware of yourself. You were very self-conscious. You wanted, you needed. You were like, I want a lollipop. Honey, you don't need, I want a lollipop. I told you not to do this again in this room. I want a lollipop. I want a lollipop. I want a lollipop. And then what mom do? If you ever do this to me again, I told you this will be the last time. And then she gives a lollipop. Nobody taught that child that. They didn't stay up and late and study. Nobody taught you how to be offended. Nobody had taught you how to feel uncomfortable and self-conscious. It came with the package of separation from God and a self-centered focus and motive. The only reason a man's angry is because he's selfish. So his preferences get violated. He's not agreed with. He gets irritated. He gets angry. It's all coming from the wellspring of self-centeredness. So people, when you talk about feelings and emotions, people say, well, brother, you got to face reality and keep it real. I mean, God gave us emotions. God did not give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you them. And they're self-centered at the core. Every emotion flows out of the wellspring of self-centeredness. That's why you're angry without thinking. That's why you're taken back without thinking. That's why you're discouraged without effort. Because the wellspring of your life is self-centeredness. Jesus did not say, pray a sinner's prayer and go to heaven in case you die. He said, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself. Why? Biggest problem on the planet is men living for themselves when they're made for the image of God. And the bigger tragedy is Christians living for themselves and Christians for themselves instead of the image of God. Oh, I'm preaching right now. No, I feel it. It's good. You're going to give me your pulpit. I got to make it good. Amen. Come on. Your heart's here. This is not a parable. It's not a riddle. You can't not hear this. Amen. Deny yourself. The only reason there's tension in our homes is because self-centeredness hasn't been dealt with. It's been accepted as normal. Yep. And we're in denial and we need to get out of denial. People want to say, I'm in denial and stuffing emotions and feelings and not facing reality. Are you kidding me? Let's face reality and get the tension out of our homes. Let's stop thinking we have to have that. People say, well, brother, everybody has their moments. No, friend, that's why you have yours. Because you believe that and you have no conviction to deal with that. And you get that from life and experience. You don't get that phrase from Jesus. You try to run that by Jesus. Well, everybody has their moments. Jesus would say you're silly for believing that. Well, he probably wouldn't say you're silly. I would say that. No. But he'd say you're wrong. Show me where Jesus had his moments. Whoever saw Jesus just sitting on the Mount of Olives at daylight when the sun rises and he's just a little bummed? And Peter has to come and encourage him and put his arm around him. Master, what's going on? Don't preach to me, Peter. Look, you're not the one, okay? You don't even know the shoes I'm in, friend. You don't know how it feels to be me, Peter. Like day in and day out, I'm trying to be good, reach out, minister all the healings. Remember the food we multiplied? The only reason they tracked us down, they wanted another meal. They could care less about what I say. I'm just a little fed up right now with people. They just throng you. They're so needy. They're just coming at you. But they don't want to hear truth. They don't want new life. They just want their baskets full. I'll tell you, Lord, are you okay, Peter? Don't preach to me. Look, if you guys want to go in town, go in town. I'm hanging back. I just ain't feeling it today. And I'm not facing people. I got enough on my plate and I feel a little overwhelmed. Do we all understand that verbiage? Have we spoken it over and over and over and accepted it as truth? But when I put it in his mouth, it sounds absolutely foolish coming from him. Why isn't it foolish coming from us when we're made for his image and we're following him? And as he is, so are we in this world. And the things he does, so will we do if we believe. Oh, that is so good. I could give you about 10 more scriptures that make us one. Yeah? Any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Here's what we do. We get tricked into letting our experiences be truth. And then we follow ourselves and push back grace that makes us more like him. And we say, yeah, but brother, what you're preaching is great, but get real. Everybody has their moments. And then you cop out of the conviction. And when you have your moments, you accept it because it's who you are. But if you run that by Jesus, he will say you're absolutely wrong because you're supposed to be following me, not yourselves. Because he gives new life. And let me just tell you something. The Christian life is totally impossible to live without grace, faith, and the person of Holy Spirit. That's why you will never get honor and you will never get glory. He will get the glory because you are what you are by the grace of God. And the grace of God is amazing. It's his empowerment. It's his willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf to make you what you could never be on your own. So who gets all the glory? What are we guilty of? Believing. There's no super Christians. We honor people, but we make them like super, like they're unattainable people. Like, who could live like that? I can't believe he did. I think he might live like that. There's no super Christian on the earth. There's just believers. Like, I actually believe I wasn't created for me. I was created for him. I actually believe that self-centeredness is the biggest wretch and lie, that it's a bigger problem than the devil himself, because the devil only works with what you give him. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. We're following that. Wonder if we could say that sincerely. Come on, if we keep ourselves and purify ourselves, the evil one touches him not. It's in your Bibles. In 2 Peter 1, it says, if you add this list of things to your faith, you will never stumble. We can't even preach that in church without be calling a heretic. But Peter wrote it. So you can stay in whatever arena you choose, or you can be a Bible believer and you can go after God and you can receive grace that he paid for and become what you can never be on your own. And you can live outside of what your own belief used to think was possible. Look, I know how I used to be. I know who I was, but I know what I've been living for 27 years. And it's hard to talk about because people fall apart. They get condemned. They get judged. They compare themselves, or they think I'm speaking some kind of blasphemy or self-righteous garbage. Because they've got me sinning by mid-morning. I don't even think about sin. I think about him. I've put on righteousness and I haven't taken it off. So for 27 years, I haven't been naked and ashamed before God. I've been dressed and clothed. And it says, and if I sin. See, when you talk like this, it freaks people out because we're trained to say, what's he saying? Oh my God, is he perfect? Does he never sin? Everybody sins. He's saying he's perfect. We all sin. See, we're so trained to believe we have to confess an identity of sin instead of an identity of right with him. That we never receive the grace to walk free from the things we were bound by. And because we can't relate to it, we judge it. Nope. But if Jesus said, follow me, is he wrong? If Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do. If you believe, is he wrong? See, that's what you're saying when you won't agree. You're saying he's wrong. You're saying you don't believe and honor his word. When he says you died to sin and you no longer live in it, that means it's identity, it's sting, it's impulse, it's drive, it's memory, it's regret. You put it off. It says you're free from sin 3 times in the book of Romans. What, did God blaspheme? And he said, if you'll put on righteousness, it'll produce its fruit to holiness. Now see, the devil knows scripture. So he wants to make sure you never, ever agree with righteousness, because that's the manifestation of God through your life. It'll produce holiness without you biting your lip to be holy, because it ain't works. It's him. See, what happens is if you make a tree good and a person actually sees who they've become in Christ, they'll begin to bear the fruit of that truth. If I believe I'm a son, my life looks like sonship. If I believe I'm accepted, I live acceptable. If I believe I'm in, I'll never look out. As a man thinketh, why don't we get that? The devil's not that creative. He's just a counterfeiter. So he wants you to think lesser things. In the name of religion, even in the name of God, trying to use certain scriptures to find weakness and acceptance. Well, brother, we're always sinning, but nobody's perfect. That's the phrase. I've heard it so many times you can't count in my life. Well, what are you saying? You're perfect? Nobody's perfect, brother. We're all sinners. Are you trying to say you don't sin? I'm saying I'm not identified by sin and I don't even think about sin. But if I do sin, I have an advocate, but I ain't even thinking about it. But if I do, if. You can hardly talk about this stuff in church. People are on thin ice when you're talking like this. They're thinking, is this heresy? Is this? Yep. Nope. YouTube blows up. Critics go crazy. Yep. At least my friends tell me. I don't know. I don't even read YouTube. I'm not even a social media guy. I stay free. I stay off of that stuff. I ain't clutter my soul with everybody's yak, yak, yak. The Bible says, Don't be wise in your own opinion. We have a forum for human opinion. Yeah. He says, don't be wise in your own opinion. And we've got a platform for everybody to just fire their opinions all out there at each other. And we think that's freedom. No, that's the devil and deception. Be careful you ain't sucked into it. You just go ahead and live Jesus. You just live Jesus. Don't you be living for this. Because if you get one of these and it affects your disposition and identity, you're way deceived. You're trying to find yourself through this instead of him. And now you got one of these, and now you're trying to earn one of these. And now you got 10 of these to 2 of these. Yep. Yep. And you put your best stuff out there, and you got 12 of these to 3 of these. Yep. You better be careful that you're not living so shallow that you're tricked into finding yourself this way when the only truth about you comes this way. Oh, that's just good, straight father-like. See, my hair's white. I can papa you today, some of you. Some of you, I can't. You could be my papa, but... I'm going to watch time. I can't do this. Oh, okay. No, I was trying to be gentle with you guys. Oh, I definitely know, sir. Thank you. Thank you. You're awesome. I tried to put my Bible down. I just thought, okay, we'll be on time. We have a water baptism. And I got right to there. You have no idea. And the Lord said, you need to read that. And I went, yes, sir. It's beautiful. You don't even have to believe I heard him. Well, God doesn't speak today. Okay. Whatever you think, you live with that. I'll live with what I think, and we'll see if I was deceived or you were in the end. Phew. Paul talks about his heritage in Philippians 3 and what he was born into, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had special rights and privileges. According to their culture, he had an automatic in. Do you understand? He was automatically accepted. He was seen clean, perfect, flawless. It was a weird thing, right? But he could have taken advantage of that because he was born into that. And what he was saying is he come to a place in Christ where that no longer was important to him, because he actually was taking advantage of that. He was a leader and he had a lot of authority. Jesus knocked him off the horse, blinded him. And 3 days later, Ananias laid hands on him and he saw. And he really saw. So he blinded him. And when his eyes opened, he saw. It's just so good. I just love the Lord. So watch this. He says, yet indeed, I'm counting all these things that I could lean on, hold to. I count all these things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. What he's saying is, I'm not going to let this become my identity when there's an excellence of identity in Christ Jesus. Are y'all looking up there? Yeah, good. Let's just do this. Indeed, I count all these things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What's Paul saying? I've come to the realization that my identity and the truth about my life and the purpose of my life is never going to be found and fulfilled in this natural heritage. It can only be found through Christ. So I'm going to totally put this off. I'm not going to let it hang around. I'm going to strip it off and put it off and count it as rubbish. Garbage collection day, gone. So I can gain what? Christ. Next verse. And be found in him. In who? In him. Not having my own righteousness. That takes the pressure off. You're not working up to anything. You're not earning anything. God places you through the blood of Jesus right with him. I could show you Colossians 1. It says, you and I were alienated and enemies to God by the wicked way our minds worked, yet now he reconciled us through the body of his death. It didn't say we changed our mind. He reconciled us. He paid the price for us to be made friends, to present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed we continue believing that and don't let anything change our mind. That's Colossians 1. Watch this. Which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness is, it's from God and it's by faith. So you have to wake up and believe you're made right. You wake up and believe God loves you. The best thing a Christian can do is wake up in the morning. I don't care if you have to put sticky notes all around places you'll see them and remind your heart so you don't live in the flesh. Teach your heart the truth. Put it right in the middle of the mirror. Put it on the doors. Put one on the potty seat. Put sticky notes. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Father, I thank you. You love me this morning. What another day. Man, I used to think it's another day at the grindstone, or here I go. I got a lot on my plate. But God, the truth is you live in me, and there's a great purpose in my life today. Empower me to shine. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you for wisdom and understanding in my life. And God, the most of all, thank you for making me clean, loving me, and accepting me. I appreciate your love. I found that Christians don't even think like that, let alone talk like that. I'm a pastor. I've counseled thousands of people. I get them to talk to me and be real about what their personal life looks like. And I found, this is sad, 90-some% of Christians don't even think that way when they're at home waking up, let alone talk that way. You see why I'm aggressive and passionate? It's a hard cry saying, come up and out from among them. Be ye separate, put on Christ. Get out of this old way. Put on a new way. It's the change of everything. Yeah? And if you're not careful, see, then I'd see that and I know that, and then I just look like a Martian to you. Like somebody from outer space, something unattainable. No, it's all the it's just what I believe. And it's good tidings of great joy. I put that on and I wear it and it never comes off. Are you hearing me? How long have you known me?
7 years.
7 years. Have I always been this way? Have you ever seen me not this way?
No. You've always been that way.
She's sitting here just crying. She comes to conferences and helps in the things I do and preach. But you've seen me a lot in 7 years. Next verse, please. Why is Paul going to live this way? That I may know him. It doesn't say in the power, it says in the power, so know him is separate. First is that I may know him. Watch this. What he's saying is I'll never know him if I don't put on his righteousness, because I won't see myself the way he sees me, and I won't have the confidence to draw near to him when I'm alone. Are you with me? If I don't see me the way he sees me, I won't have confidence to approach him when I'm in the quiet place of my life, because I won't see myself clear. And when people do try to go pray, they take 20 minutes to get past themselves to even try to get to him. Lord, I'm sorry. I've probably missed you. I feel like sometimes I'm this and God. And it's just this whole resume of what they think's wrong with them. Or they go troubleshooting. God, you got to do something with my wicked heart. Rather than, Father, I thank you. You're changing my heart. You're doing a work in my heart. You have me so convicted. You have my attention. God, the work you're doing in me, I accept and receive. Thank you for putting your heart in me. That's way better than waiting for the magic bang. I got a new heart. Because the whole time until the bang happens, you believe your heart's wicked. And as a man thinketh, so he is. And now all these things that come out of your heart are because that's what you believe about you. Low esteem and low identity is responsible for every addictive behavior you ever see in a person's life. Every psycho is attached to a low esteem. Because you don't think high of yourself, you live up to the low level in which you see yourself. And then when you act on those beliefs, you convince yourself that your worst fears are true. And that's called the cycle. And now the drive and desire keeps working in you. Because you have nothing to sustain you, and now you cycle back in. Your heart's violated, you're tormented, you're crying, but you're still going here because you believe you're worthless. You believe you're a failure. You believe you're no good. You believe you've gone too far. You believe you're lost. Yeah? And somebody's got to come along and say, that is not who you are. What you did has nothing to do with who you're called to be, created to be, and can be, if you'll wrap faith around the truth. And that's what the cross is doing. That's what the blood is doing. Hey, I love you. Do you think the cross is doing this? Hey, you bunch of selfish sinners, I hope you're happy now. Look what it cost me. I hope you change. Your sin put me on this cross and I was willing to pay the price, but I hope you're willing to oblige and pay your price. Do you think that's what the cross is saying? Here's what the cross is saying. I love you. I've known you from the beginning. You haven't known who you are. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Look, you have purpose. You have destiny. Your life is on purpose. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you can be made clean. We're not mad at you. We love you. We want to redeem you. We want to rescue you from the darkness and put life inside of you and our light inside of you. Oh God, if I be lifted up, I can draw all men unto me. That's what the cross is saying. Man, that's got all my hair standing up. That's what the cross is saying. That I may, isn't that the goal? I thought the goal was heaven. No, the goal is eternal life, we say. Well, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you might, oh my goodness, I got the word on this, that you might know him. And the power of his resurrection. I think it's amazing that I may know him. When we read Paul, we figure Paul knew him. But Paul has a heart cry to know him more. You know, people use scripture against scripture. So when you talk about healing, people that don't believe in healing or have heard over healing or lost a mom and they prayed and prayed, they'll look for reasons not to believe in healing. They'll find where Paul left Trophimus by the roadside on the way to Miletus because he was sick. And they'll say, well, if God healed everybody, why didn't Paul? I mean, he was Paul. If Paul couldn't heal Trophimus, then God obviously doesn't heal everybody because Trophimus was left behind. And people will search for things that look, and they got all this evidence of God healing through Jesus, and they find one little thing and build a giant camp and city on it. But they miss this stuff. They talk as if Paul was 100% in. Paul's saying that I may know him with a heart cry. He says, not that I've attained. Move forward. Look, let's move forward. Verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's not doubt and negativity. That's just a humble heart cry of going after God. Verse 12, watch this. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. Why is he talking like this? He's Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was communed with by God and Jesus taught him firsthand. Why is he talking like this? Because there's times he's letting Trophimus by the road on the way to Miletus and he ain't seeing the fruit of everything he's writing about. And he wants more. That's what they miss. We look at Paul as if he's already arrived. And Paul's saying, don't you make me the standard, because the one I worship is the standard. I'm following him. Only follow me as I follow him. You never saw him leave anybody by the roadside. You make sure you follow him. Don't build a doctrine off of me. Build a doctrine off of him. Oh, that's solid. See, people miss this stuff. Yeah. But I press on, not that I'm perfected, but I press on. Why? That I, this is good, and I got to close. That I may, watch this. I thought we only prayed a prayer to go to heaven. No, I didn't. I'm just talking as general. I didn't think that. But watch this. Well, I just signed up for heaven. I just signed up for blessing. Look, I was just hoping God would heal my marriage. Stop. I'm pressing on. Why? That I may lay hold of that. That means reason, purpose. For which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. What's he saying? That Christ laid a hold of me with intention and purpose. And Paul said, I'm doing my part to step into it. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was that, not who. We think a drunk in the back alley. Purpose, destiny, identity was lost through sin. He came to get it all back. Paul said, I'm doing whatever it takes that I can attain this because I'm not quite there and I'm not already perfected, but I press on so I can lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of me for. That is a better day when you stand before him in that day than you standing before him in that day and all you did was look to him to make your life work the way you hope. I promise you, you don't want that resume. Next verse. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He's pretty persistent here. But one thing, not two things, one thing, not one of two, not one of three. Aren't you glad it's just one thing? That makes it simple. It's a one-point sermon. It's not even three. But one thing I do. Uh-oh. What's the one thing he does to get to where he's talking? Forgetting those things which are... Oh, my goodness. This is revelation. So he's refusing regret. He's refusing to live in the past. He's refusing to wear an identity based on yesterday. He's never going to let yesterday be tomorrow. Reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Isn't that how Jesus went through the cross for the joy set? Next verse. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. See, this is the life we're pursuing. Next verse and I'm done. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. You talk about unity, same mind. We're all supposed to believe this. It's the only way we're going to run as an army.
Amen.
We're all supposed to believe this. Why are we supposed to believe it? Because it's the Word of God.
That's right.
It's not our theology upbringing. It's the Word of God. It's not what you learn growing up. It's what He says in His Word. Well, I wasn't taught that. Okay. You're taught that today. So I don't know where you got what you were taught, but we got the Word right here on the board.
That's right.
So you either want the Word or you don't want the Word.
That's right.
So you're in the camp of believers or the camp of unbelievers. It's that simple. Because God's love makes it that accountable. He doesn't want you blind. He wants you to see. And then once a man sees, he decides if he wants it or not. See, here's what you've recognized about me when I talk all weekend. You can't not hear what I'm saying. You're not sitting there going, what's he trying to say? There's nobody in the room doing that. If you're doing that, we can pray for you. Here's what I've asked the Lord a long, long, long time ago. I said, Lord, if I'm going to stand in front of people and preach and people are going to be humble enough to give me their pulpit for a weekend, then I'm asking you to do one thing for me. That when I'm done preaching, let a man only have two options. You say, why not one? Because we all have free wills. And he wants children, not robots. I said, let a man only have one of two choices, Kate, if you really want him or if you want him the way you want him. These messages are convicting on purpose because conviction means shine light upon. The devil works in condemnation to crush you and say, oh boy, well, I guess I ain't saved. Conviction says, man, I just got a trail lit in front of me. I just got light on the path. I just saw the way. And the heart responds because of faith. And if anything you think otherwise, God will even reveal this to you. What Paul's saying is, watch, we don't like this stuff, but it's by, there's no other option. It's the way, it's not a. What Paul's saying is, everybody mature, have this mind. And if any of you would think otherwise, then I'm asking God would even reveal this to you, that it's the way. Because there's no plan B. It's just life through Jesus Christ. Amen? I rarely do this. I'm not having an altar call right now for salvation. If you're not saved, you can get saved. We're water baptizing over there, a lady. Who's getting baptized? There's a lady getting baptized. Is it you? Would you do me a favor? Would you? Do you have clothes to put on? Would you just go get ready a while so you'll be ready when we're ready? Thank you, dear. What's that? Well, we could, we'll have her do that. What's that? Yeah. Okay. Is that okay? Or do you want her to do that? Yeah, that would be good right before. Don't you think? I don't want to override that if you feel it. Okay. Gave me the mic. Sorry if I'm stretching my authority. No, I just kind of saw this thing wrapping up a certain way. It's not that we're rushed. We do have to be a little sensitive to time. I have to go, they're going to get me some lunch and get me to an airport. So I won't be available like I've been at every service. Who knows that every service I don't run out and I hang here and I talk to as many people that want to talk to me. Who saw that all weekend? Today's just a little different because of my schedule. So if you could honor that, okay? And it's not that you have to avoid me like I have leprosy or that I didn't shower. But you can't corner me and tell me a whole big long thing and look for ministry and prayer. It's because I'm going to help with the water baptism. But here's what I want to say, and I rarely do this. But in light of what I'm saying today, If you feel like, man, I need to get where Paul's at and become more serious about what I believe. You're not condemned, but you're convicted, and you feel like, I need to go after this and not look back. I need to separate myself from the past. I need to stop letting yesterday be a reason for tomorrow. I want you to stand to your feet. If you have struggled with the yesterday, the past, or you just want to totally be all in and say, I'm done letting life decide who I am, I'm going to let Jesus begin to teach me and be in me the way he wants to be in me. And you have that strong conviction. I just need you to begin to stand to your feet. I want to pray over you. When you stand, what you're saying is, I am not letting yesterday affect today or tomorrow. I am putting it off today. It's actually like a water baptism. I'm going to die so I can live. I'm done. I'm going to forget what lies behind. I'm going to reach forward. So watch what you're saying. I am loved. I do have value. My life does matter. That's not vanity. That's just truth. He would never have paid such a high price if my life wasn't worth something to him. Come on. You know why you write the check? Because you believe what you're purchasing is worth what you're writing. Yeah? And we're a two-for-one community. We're a buffet, all you can eat. Buy one, get one free. That's what we look for. So when Jesus is put on the cross and he sheds the blood, the price of his blood, and gives the price of his life to redeem us as a possession, to him we must be well worth the price. And that's what you're saying by standing up. Is there anybody else that needs to stand before I pray and just put off yesterday? I feel like, yeah, thank you for standing. I was just going to say, but I still have that in my heart. I just feel like I'm waiting for one person. Your past is traumatic. It was very, very bad. And you feel like you can't forget it and let it go. But if you would stand up in a step of faith and just say, I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm going to put it off. Is that you? Okay, thank you. Oh, my gosh, thank you, Chris. Because I was feeling that you weren't standing because I fit perfect for you when I said that. You knew that was you? Okay, thank you. It made me want to cry. Close your eyes. Don't be distracted for a second. And in your heart, I want you to say this. Say, Father, I stood up to believe you today. You can just say this even in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud if you want. I mean, a lot of people say you have to say things out loud. I talk to in my heart all the time. If you want to whisper it out loud, you can. But I want you to say this from your heart. Father, I stood up today because I'm going to trust you. I'm calling everything about yesterday dead. And I have no desire to let it decide me, my value, or my future. I renounce those things as my story and embrace you as my new truth. I'm not denying those things happened. I'm just putting off the power they've had over me. I'm not forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm not unloved. I'm forever loved. I'm not unimportant. I'm highly valued. I'm not lost. I'm found. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Today, I stand in front of the congregation and I put on Christ. Now, I need you to do this with me. Please just lift your hands to heaven. This is going to be very powerful for you. God's going to move in your heart. Holy Spirit's here. I see this. Just lift your hands to heaven. Say, Father, I trust you. I commit my life to you. And I yield to you. Holy Spirit, come into me. Help me and empower me to walk out these convictions. And help me and empower me to never look back. And if I get tricked into looking back, show me immediately that that is not the way. Thank you. Today is a day of freedom. Today is a day of a solid foundation. Today is a day of no looking back. Today is a day of reaching forward in you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for truth. I receive you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come right now and bring absolute healing, bring absolute restoration, and bring absolute freedom. I thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a work in us that will not be denied. Thank you, Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Thank you that we're free, and thank you that we're one. And we rejoice in the truth, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for standing. Who wants to close out here? We're going to do a water baptism. I can let one of you guys close out if you would like. We're going to do a water baptism. Pastor's going to share about that. Just remember to be a little gracious to me. I'm going to be helping, I guess. You want me to participate?
Yes, yes,
and then I'm going to have to bolt out of here. But I
yes.
love you guys. I'm glad I got to come and thank you for being here and having wide open hearts. Amen? Amen. See, I would preach the same thing whether your hearts were open or closed, and I wouldn't blink. But I can tell when hearts are open, and I honor that, and I cheer that on and applaud that. And I'm saying, please stay open to God and let him father you and walk you through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you. Go ahead, Pastor.